Good morning, everyone. It's Monday. George Watkins here. Welcome to our beginning of the week in these early morning sessions. We started Sunday last night at 6 and had a good time together. So we're going to kick it off again. Thank you for coming by again today and tuning in. If you're watching this a little later on in the week or the month, we welcome you also. I really appreciate the things you've sent us in the way of encouragement, prayers. I know you pray for us. I've seen that in your text and your notes back to me. The thumbs up, the likes, the subscriptions all mean a whole bunch of encouragement to us. Thank you for that. And many of you have sent a gift that puts gas in our tank, helps us get down the road. Thank you for that. So welcome again to a brand new week to see what God has. Now, there's a lot of activity going on in the world. The news, the reporting, they call it news. I don't know, the news report. The reporting has a lot of buzz going on. And there's different levels of reporting. There's the kind you believe and you know have good confidence. And then there's the kind you wonder about, well, where'd that come from? Can we trust that report? I love that chorus we sing in church. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. So we talk about believing the word of God says. Isn't it interesting, though, that most of our division, our arguments, and our disagreements in the church and in the church life and in, you know, denominations come out of the Bible? One verse can mean four things to different people. So there must be, and there has to be, a personal understanding and a revelation of the Word of God to what it means to you. Well, in the New Testament, when the eunuch was sitting in the chariot and Philip came by, he got up in the chariot with him and he noticed the eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah. And so he opened up the book. In other words, he gave him revelation of what that scripture meant and then took him down into the water and baptized him. How about Aquila and Priscilla? They took Apollos aside. He had been preaching a form of the gospel or beginning revelation of the gospel, but he did not know about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they took him aside and gave him a fuller, complete picture of what it meant. And then they laid hands on him, and he received. So you and I are interacting with many, many people that have a beginning, but not a understanding of the ongoing revelation of Jesus Christ. Often, and more than we'd like to think, Christians see Jesus as the kind, well, you know, the not the kind, his kind, but the man Christ Jesus, kind, full of compassion, loving children, healing the sick, walking the shores of Galilee, feeding the 5,000, so forth. And the emphasis of biblical picture, teaching, understanding of Jesus is a historic picture. And I love that. We learn that in Sunday school. We learn that in foundation. We learn the historic Jesus. But sad to say, the church has gotten stuck there and it's frozen in its theology that we always refer back to Jesus, the man who walked the shores of Galilee and healed the sick. Now, Easter comes, And we see the resurrection and we emphasize the open tomb and so forth. But then we go back to seeing him heal the sick and raise the dead. So when we have our pattern going to the ministry, we heal the sick and raise the dead and prophesy and lay hands on people and teach biblical truth, which is foundational. Jesus did this and the prophets said that and so forth. But there's something missing in the ongoing revelation of the kingdom of God. Now, I don't contain it all. I've got a little peek under the tent. You know my example. Little boy lifts the tent up of the circus. He can't afford the ticket, so he lifts the tent up, and he peeks in, and he sees an elephant. Well, that's all he knows about the circus. All he sees is the elephant. He goes home and tells his mom, "I've been to the circus, and it's got a big elephant in it. That tent has an elephant in it." Well, we know that's not true. There's the trapeze people, and there's the clowns, and there's all the horses, and you know, dogs, and whatever they have in circuses. But we see through a glass darkly. In other words, it's kind of fuzzy. It's kind of faded. But then face to face. So here's the key for revelation. It's not heaven. Let's not put everything off. Let's not put it off to heaven. Let's put it off to relationship with the Father. I don't have to die to know God. I don't have to die to see his face. I don't have to die to hear his voice or to have angelic experiences or to have understanding of things I don't understand yet. Paul wrote so many, 13 books, but the things he gave us were light years beyond what Peter even understood. Peter said, "Paul's a strange dude. Some of his things are hard to understand." That's my paraphrase. So when we open the book, we see the page in the paper, and we read the print, and we get first impression or first impact. I need Jesus. How often have you heard someone who was from a non-biblical or non-Bible background, non-church, non-anything, and they got a Bible and read the Bible, like the eunuch that met with Philip, had no background, and they begin to see and read about Jesus, and something comes alive in them, and they have a hunger. Who is this Jesus? Well, even the Islam claims that Jesus was a prophet. They see him as a man that lived as a prophet. But we know him as the Son of God, as the Christ. And this was the challenge Jesus gave to Peter, wasn't it? Jesus gave Peter a challenge. "Who do you say that I am?" Well, he said, what do men say? And then what do you say? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Nobody told you this but the Holy Ghost." You didn't get this reading a newspaper or even reading the local church digest. You got this by the Spirit of God. So revelation comes by the Spirit of God. Theologians and some of our church leaders get nervous when the individual Christian begins to get revelation outside of the pulpit. They didn't hear it through the preacher, didn't hear it through the pulpit. And they get nervous. And many pastors, now I have been a pastor a long time, so I have a little bit of license. Many pastors get nervous because if they have prophets or seers or intercessors, people in the congregation that are getting downloads that isn't coming through headquarters. You know what I mean? Coming through the pulpit or coming through them or coming through, wherever headquarters is. They get nervous. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to do with it. And if they have gifts in the congregation that are not their gifts, something that they don't know how to use, then they shut it down or they just ignore it. Sad, but true. So how do we work with that? What do we do? Well, we get a revelation of what the church is all about, which is not just the pulpit, is not just a church building, is not the organization. Well, what is there, 30,000 denominations or something in America? There's a bunch of them. Whoa. They divide and split over the smallest, silliest, and sometimes stupid things. And yet, Scripture's talking about being one. How can we be one when we have so many ideas? Face-to-face relationship. Face-to-face relationship. And you know what? When you come out of your time with the Father, you've heard something I didn't hear. And I have a revelation you didn't hear. So Paul said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because each of us have something to add to the picture, to the message. And if we'll add that to the message, it'll bloom on us, and we'll begin to see the full picture of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, when I say the church, I'm talking about the ecclesia, people, you and me. We make up the church. So that whole complete picture comes. And one of the things, one of the ways that God gives revelation is by dreams. He gives direction by dreams. But in the modern church that I have been in most of my life, if you have a dream and think God spoke to you, it was a pizza dream. You just ate too much pizza and you had a bad night. Don't do that. Don't go there, because that's a sign of your lack of understanding and your lack of revelation. If you'll look just briefly through a small little investigation into a Strong's or your phone on a good software for Bible search, you'll find that dreams, dreamers, dreams and night visions will bring up hundreds, at least 100 plus, of experiences of dreams where God shows up and speaks to them, where an angel shows up and gives them direction or revelation or insight. And all through the Old Testament, a scattering in the New Testament, but Paul was big at it. He had a strong thing. Matthew, where the angel showed up and directed Joseph, and so forth. Even in the sense of ungodly or godless people that had dreams. Look at Jacob and Laman. Laman was his father-in-law, who treated him really like a dog and jerked him around, cheated him. But God spoke to him in a dream, said, hey, don't you do anything to my boy. He's mine. You deal with him right. And he spoke to Jacob in a dream with the latter dream, you know, angels coming and going. So angels come and teach us in our dreams. And when they speak, it is God's voice speaking through an angel. That's an amazing thought. Just think about that for a moment. There are no secondary telegrams from God. Now, telegrams aren't a big deal now, but as a kid, that was how you got a telegram at the door. They'd knock on the door, and the telegram boy would read to you the latest instant message. Well, we have internet. Who needs that? But they are not, angels are not secondary voices. They speak for God in the sense that God's voice is carried in the angel's voice. I don't know how it works. Just says it. It just does. God doesn't have any old word floating around out there. Angel takes a few seconds or milliseconds to go somewhere from the throne to you. Well, it's a stale word. No, it's living. It's life. Everything God does is full of life, and everything God is living. There's no death in God. All right, so I'm just encouraging you. We're going to dive in here this week and talk about dreams and dreamers. And I'll bring out a few verses as the morning's going to carry us along that have to do with direction and even theology. God corrects our theology, gives us not just direction, go south, go north, don't go. But also some of the things that are taught have been taught by angels. And the scriptures refer, Paul says, if anybody has ever taught you anything else, including the teaching of angels. So angels do teach. I came out of a background, but angels didn't have anything to do with us. And but I'm finding out through scripture and through real life experience that angels carry a message of salvation to the world in many levels. If you look into some of the testimonies out of the Middle East, you'll find that the angel shows up in some of those dark corners of the world. And Jesus shows up also in some cases, but often it's an angel bringing a message of salvation. Amen. Well, I love you guys. Thank you for this kickoff Monday morning. It's the subject is dreams and things. We'll see where it goes from here. But I welcome you to subscribe. I welcome you to give me a thumbs up, a like, and share this with somebody. That's a big deal on the internet. Share it with somebody. Make a comment. Only good comments, of course. And we will see you on the tomorrow, on the flip side, as they used to say, when we had small 45 speed records. We'll see you on the flip side. Thank you for your giving. It's a great, great help to us. Gives us gas in our tank. Amen. Until tomorrow, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his countenance reflect out of your face all the day long. In Jesus' name.